Stand by for a special guest. Next on the Mike Huckabee Show. This is the Cumulus Media Networks.
There aren't too many times when the word hero is appropriately used. Sometimes it's used in relationship to a sports figure, somebody who hit a home run. Sometimes maybe for an entertainer who has a hit record and who's idolized by a bunch of screaming teenagers. Are those maybe people who are famous, successful, gifted, very talented? I get that. Doesn't make them a hero. Heroes are people who do extraordinary things, and they do it in the service of others. My next guest is a true, honest-to-God American hero, Edgar Harrell. And he's got a brand new book that's called Out of the Depths, a survivor story of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. 68 years ago this very day, the Indianapolis sank, and it was a remarkable time. 1,197 people on board that ship. When it was all over, only 317 of them would be rescued. Edgar Harrell joins me now. Edgar, it is a true honor to visit with you, sir.
Well, thank you, sir, Governor Huckabee. It's indeed a delight to be on your show today. Thank you, sir.
You know, there's a decreasing number of people who are still with us who were in World War II. You weren't just in it, but you were in one of the most remarkable moments of it with the sinking of the Indianapolis. Take us back to that time when the USS Indianapolis was hit by a Japanese submarine. I think they hit you with a couple of torpedoes out of six that they went, and the ship went down in like 12 minutes. Talk about the day that all happened and what was going on from your vantage point.
Well, we had just delivered the components of the atomic bombs, you know, to our B-29 base on the island of Tinian, and then we were going on then to the Philippines to prepare for the main invasion of Japan. And 3 days out of Guam, unescorted, we encountered a Jap sub. Commander Hoshimoto picked us up, and he fired a spread of six torpedoes, hit us with two, and, of course, the ship went down in about 12 minutes. And that's about 68 years ago, plus about 13 hours I had been in the water as of right now, some 13 hours. And, of course, the next several days are going to be trying times, swimming with the sharks.
And, Edgar, there were sharks all around you guys, weren't there?
Well, especially the first day. Daybreak the first day, we could see big fins swimming around our group. Our group was about 80 boys, and they weren't, out of fairness of the sharks, they weren't attacking us, but it isn't long until someone maybe had been injured, and he breaks out of the group, and he swims out to imaginary island or something, and you hear a blood-curdling scream, and you look, and you see that capot jacket go under the water, and then momentarily it comes back to the surface, and then you see many, many fins, and you dare not to go and to check who your buddy might be because of all the sharks, but sometime later maybe you've checked to see who that buddy might be, and you take his dog tags off, and you detect that maybe the bottom torso is gone or he's been disemboweled. Now, that's going to take place, yes, many times throughout these next 4.5 days.
Edgar, as long as you guys stayed together, did the sharks leave you alone, or did they ever attack a group of you?
I don't recall them attacking the group because early on we saw that we had boys that were injured that did not have capot jackets. And if you could visualize, you got about 80 men, and we needed to stay together in that 10, 12-foot swell water. So some of us then would take our capot jackets and hook onto a butt and form a circle, and so we pretty much stayed as a group. But it isn't long until someone's going to break out of the group, and when that takes place, then the sharks are waiting there for us, yes.
How long were you in the water after the ship sank?
Well, some 4.5 days, sir.
And during that time, Tell us about what do you experience when you're just floating on the water. I mean, you don't have a lifeboat. You're just, I cannot imagine how you survive just bobbing out in the ocean for 4.5 days.
Well, actually, we weren't just bobbing out in the ocean. Basically, we had a Kapok life jacket, but we were swimming. You're having to keep swimming to stay in the group or to protect yourself from the sharks that are circling around you. And, of course, you go through that first day just frightened to death because of the sharks. But then you go through the night time and the sharks are still there, but you don't see them. But then when you come into the second day, you have to realize that it's 110 degree weather and you're swimming bareheaded. And, you get so thirsty even by the second day that your tongue now is swelling in your mouth. Your lips are parched and breaking open. And there's no saliva, and you dare not drink the water because you see what is taking place. Some boys are daring to tear some of their clothing off and make a little strainer and put some water up in that and drink that, and within the hour or so, then they lose their mind, and in many cases they become your enemy. And they can see a buddy that they think, is a Jap, or a buddy maybe that they think that he's got a canteen of water hidden in his Kapok jacket. So he takes out his sheath knife and he stabs his buddy. Mm-hmm. Now, things of that nature are going to happen for the next 4 days, yes.
I'm visiting with Edgar Harrell. He is the author of the book Out of the Depths, A Survivor's Story of the Sinking of the USS Indianapolis, which happened 68 years ago today. Edgar, you're describing some of the just horrible circumstances and conditions that you had to contend with, the dehydration, the hallucination. How did you keep your wits about you? How were you able to survive, both mentally and physically?
Well, certainly it wasn't an easy thing, and may I say, were it not for a higher power watching over us, none would have made it. But we were desperate, and we knew that unless help could come, that there was no way that we could survive. And certainly we did not realize that we were going to be out there 4.5 days.
Did you ever just wish to die? Was the pain and the horror of it all such that you just said, God, please, take me on. I don't want to have to go through another minute of this kind of pain and torture.
No, I never felt that. But I saw boys that basically I've said many times, it's much easier to die than it is to live. And when you've got a Kapok jacket that maybe 48 hours it's supposed to hold you out of the water, but now suppose that Kapok jacket gets so waterlogged it's not holding your head out of the water. Now you're struggling to keep your head out of the water, and even by the second day you see that it's better to take that Kapok jacket off. I call it a horse collar. You take that off and you sit in it. And now you're still having to struggle to keep your head above water. And so, yes, it's trying, but you think of, family and all back home, and you know that unless help comes, and certainly you're expecting it to come, the next day, any time, because you could see planes flying overhead 30,000 feet, maybe our B-29s bombing Tokyo, but no one's looking for us. And so we are struggling, and we go through that that second day so desperate for water, and then they have a little rain cloud to come over, and it's a thank you Lord, look, it's raining, and then you open your mouth and you catch just a few tablespoons full of water. You take your oil-soaked hands and you funnel some of that water in, and you're so thankful that a little bit of a rain shower went over and gives you some hope that maybe you're going to be able to make it.
Almost 1,200 people on board that ship, 300 were trapped, unable to even abandon ship. Of the 900 who made it into the water, only 317 of you were rescued. Obviously, Edgar, you saw people that you worked with and friends of yours that went into the water with you but did not come out of the water with you. I can't imagine how that must have had an impact on you, as there was nothing you could do to save some of your friends.
Now, actually, there were two Marines in my group of 80, and one had been blown against a bulkhead. He had multiple breaks in his body, and I tried to assist him, and he was so far gone he dared not even to allow me to touch him, and within a couple of hours he's gone. And then my other Marine buddy had gone into the water head first, half an inch of oil on the water, and he's got all of that oil in his eyes, and you could only imagine going through another three more days after that and trying to rub some of that oil out of his eyes. And then he looks up at the sun, and that salt water becomes powder, and so he's going to have, eyeballs that are just rub raw with the salt, and then get all that oil in that. And he's going to have a miserable time for the next days.
Mm. When you were rescued, how did it come about? Was it a ship that found you?
No, actually, it was a Ventura, a B-25 plane. I called it flying out of Palau, out on a search and destroy, and he is looking down from maybe 4,000 feet or so. He was having trouble with his radio, the little antenna that trails behind that aircraft. The stabilizer on that had come off, and he is desperate to reach back at his base, and he tells the co-pilot, "Come and take over. I'm going to go and reel in this antenna and put a stabilizer on and see if we can't reach back at our base." And as he opens his bomb bay doors, now he looks down at the water below, and I could just imagine he sees what I refer to many times as the little boy scout's mirror. He saw the sun's hitting that oil in the water, and when he saw that, he rushed back to take over controls of the plane, because he felt certainly that there was a Jap submarine down there. And so he takes over controls, gets on the speaker, and says, "Load the bombs." So they are loading the bombs, coming in on a bombing run, but one Navy lieutenant and myself, the only two that's together there then, we see him coming in, and we think, "Hey, he sees us. Look, he sees us. He's coming in." Well, may I say, he did not see us, had not seen us. Impossible for him to see us. He's flying at, let's say, 4,000 feet, looking maybe 4 miles ahead of him, 2.5 miles each peripheral vision, 20 square mile, and to see a man's head down there, impossible for him to see us. But he saw that oil slick, and so he comes in for a bombing run. But when he gets down in the 1,000 or so feet, he sees 15-foot sharks attacking boys, and then he begins to circle us. And, of course, he can't land those wheels on that water, but he can go back up, and he can radio then back at the Palau, and another pilot of a PBY gets our coordinates, and an hour and a half, 150 mile later, he comes.
That is amazing. So you, after 4.5 days, you finally get rescued. When was the next time you saw your family after that, Edgar?
Well, it's a long story, because I had a lot of injuries, and I was in the hospital in Palau, base hospital in Guam, for maybe 2 weeks or so. And October the 2nd, I'm finally back in the States. But thinking that I was coming home on October the 4th, but October the 3rd, I ended up in Balboa Hospital, had a perforated appendix. They gave me 11,800,000 units of penicillin for the next 29 days, and I didn't get out of the hospital until sometime early in January in 46.
Edgar, it is a remarkable story. You know, I just appreciate your sharing it, and it's just an incredible reminder of the extraordinary sacrifices that people like you have made for the rest of us. You know, from the depths of my heart, I want to say thanks for the service you've rendered to this country, to the cause of freedom, and for sharing this remarkable story. The book by Edgar Harrell is called Out of the Depths, A Survivor's Story of the Sinking of the USS Indianapolis. And I hope folks will get a copy. And if the book is a fraction of as compelling as your story that you've just shared with us, people won't be able to put it down. I appreciate your being here. An honor to have you here, sir.
Thank you so kindly. It's an honor to be on your program.
Edgar Harrell. Again, the book, Out of the Depths, A Survivor's Story of the Sinking of the USS Indianapolis. This is The Mike Huckabee Show.
The Mike Huckabee Show.